This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد just an announcement inshallah that the salat, the adhan and the iqamah Well, the adhan will be called at 8 o'clock, inshallah, and the iqamah will follow immediately after that. So we're going to have class for the next 52 minutes, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. That's number one. Number two is that there's a mistake that many people make, and I see it in many, many different messages, and not just here in the United States, but throughout the world. And that is, when you pray in a chair, the back part of the chair should be in line with the people's shoulders. Meaning that when you're sitting down, your shoulders should be in line with the people who are in the line. When you're standing up, you're not going to be in line with them. And that's okay. Because if you have an excuse to sit down, then you have an excuse to stand in a line, whatever way that you can stand in a line. What you do not have an excuse to do is to totally diminish the real estate of the person standing behind you. Such that he has to pray with his knees on his chin and still is in the row behind him. So because you feel the need to stand in line with everybody else and be selfish and inconsiderate of the rest of the Muslims and not want for them what you want for yourself. You want to be able to stand in line with them and sit in line with them and do everything and not consider the fact that you're affecting at least two rows behind you because of that inconsideration. And so you do have an excuse that when you stand up, you're not in line with everybody else. You have that excuse because you're ill. That's the reason why you're sitting. But you do not have an excuse to infringe upon the rights of other Muslims. I'll tell you. And there was something else I wanted to say, and that was it. Allahu musta'an. I'll tell you. Khair, inshallah. Today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, even though you can see here it says Al-Malik and Al-Malik and Al-Ahad and Al-Wahid, that's a bit ambitious for the time that we have. So we're going to limit ourselves today to three names. Those names are Al-Malik, Al-Malik, and Al-Malik. Al-Malik, Al-Malik, and Al-Malik. So how many names is that?
Three.
We'll cover those three. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Whatever we can get through today, bi-idhnillah. So we'll start with the questions, Dr. Mukhtar. Faddal mashkura majura, Sheikh.
Questions. What is the difference between Allah's names, Al-Malik, Al-Malik, and Al-Malik?
What is
the difference between Allah's names, Al-Malik, Al-Malik, and Al-Malik?
Yes. Anybody feel confident answering that right now? Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, in the next 20 or 30 minutes, you'll feel comfortable, inshallah. Nah.
What two names are Al-Malik?
Al-Malik here.
Al-Malik.
Uh-huh.
Mentioned within the Quran. What is the significance?
Yeah. In other words, Al-Malik is mentioned with two other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various places in the Quran. What two names are those? I mean, I know the question may be a little...
Sheikh, I'm sorry for you. The lady came out, she said they have a problem with the voice and the screen.
The voice and the screen?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's all my fault, totally.
Yeah, the voice should be okay. Wallahu a'lam. Are you switching the screen, Sheikh?
Yes, just
all right, alhamdulillah. Tayyip. Fadl, what two names are Al-Malik mentioned with in the Quran? Yani, there are two names that Al-Malik is co-joined with in the Quran. What two names are they, and what's the significance? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what some of the hikmah that we can understand from the fact that Allah joined Al-Malik with this name and Al-Malik with that name? Tayyip. Fadl. Keep going, Shaykh. Allah yahdik ya Shaykh.
Should you say Astaghfirullah after which a prayer?
Right. So, we know after the fard, after you salam out, you say astaghfirullah three times. Should you do the same thing for witr prayer? What does that have to do with Al-Malik anyway? We'll get around to it, inshallah. Nah.
What names that is, or attributes, does Allah mention at the beginning of Surah An-Nas? What is the significance?
Question understood? Anybody ready to answer that? Tayyib, alhamdulillah. Fadha.
Mention at least two practical applications of knowing these names of Allah.
In other words, how can you live on a daily basis? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدَعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the most beautiful and perfect names. So, أُدْعُوهُ بِهَا. What dua, as we know, is two types, right? There's the dua that is symbolizing devotion in general, all forms of worship. And then there is the dua that is specific to invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we worship Allah with the name Al-Malik and Al-Malik and Al-Malik? How should that be impacting our lives? All right? Tayyib. So let's look at the three names. Don't forget to switch yours, Doctor. Tayyib. All right. So go ahead, read the names, inshallah.
Al-Malik,
right,
which means the owner. Al-Malik.
Allah. Laysa al-Malik. Al-Malik.
Al-Malik.
Yeah, there you go. Which is?
The king.
Right.
And al-Malik,
mm-hmm,
the sovereign.
Right, okay. So we are claiming that these are three names that belong to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we know, the names of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, are not something that we concoct in our minds. They are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who named himself. So the only way that we can get that is through revelation. And revelation consists of two things. What? Quran and Sunnah. So we need to go back. If we're going to say Al-Malik is the name of Allah, Al-Malik is the name of Allah, Al-Malik is the name of Allah, we need to have evidence for that. And that's what we're going to do first, inshallah. Now, Father Sheikh, turn your page.
Evidence. Right?
Nah.
Al-Malik, Maliki Yawmiddin.
All right, excellent. So here, what we see here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala twice in the Quran refers to himself as Malik. Twice in the Quran. But both of them are mudaf. Remember we covered that last week? What's mudaf mean? The first part of the idaf structure, a genitive clause, like anybody know what that ownership. Knows what that means, huh?
Ownership.
Okay. So, but what did we say was the practical benefit of knowing that something was mudaf? Usually, with the mudaf, what happens? It restricts the meaning to a particular thing. Whereas when you don't have idafa, it means that what? It means that thing is absolute. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself as we know, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. And he doesn't say Al-Malik. He says Maliki Yawmiddin. That is that he is the owner, if you will, of the day of judgment. Tayyib. Is that sufficient enough for us to pull out the name Al-Malik? No? Okay. Okay. Yes. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns the day of judgment, then he obviously owns everything else. And therefore, even though it is restricted in terms of its wording, the meaning of it is absolute and unrestricted. And that's what we'll see with the next ayah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مالك الملك. Say, O Allah, the owner of the entire kingdom. Malik al-Mulk. He is the owner of the entire kingdom, the universe. تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You give that kingdom to whom you will. وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. And you snatch it away from whom you will. Alright? So here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in fact the absolute owner of the universe. The entire universe. From this ayah in Ali Imran, the 26th verse. And if you can write down quickly, you know, you can write down where these ayat are. Ali Imran is the third chapter, 26th verse. And then there's the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he says that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Inna aqna'a ismin indallahi rajulun tasamma malik al-amlak." Malika al-amlak. Malika al-amlak. La malika illallah azza wa jal. The same way we say la ilaha illallah, right? La malika illallah illallahu azza wa jal. Iqra ya Sheikh. Inglesi.
Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, "The vilest, the worst, the
most worst despicable
type of name,
yeah, good,
that someone could be named in Allah's sight is Malik al Muluk."
Malik al Muluk is another riwayat. This one is Malik al Amlak. Yeah.
There is no Malik but Allah, the exalted and glorious.
There's no Malik, maybe. Owner here works. This is actually in Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith. And as you'll see, there's some, what do you want to call it? There's some overlap in the explanation of the names. Malik and Malik and Malik. But inshallah, that'll become a bit clearer as we go along. All right, so that's the evidence for Malik. Al-Malik. And how many times was Al-Malik mentioned in the Quran? Twice. Well, not as Al-Malik, but it was mentioned Malik. Malik Yawm al-Din and Qul Allahumma Malik al-Mulk. Tayyib. Naam, Sheikh.
Evidence.
For Al-Malik.
Al-Malik.
Aywa. For Allah's name, Al-Malik. Naam.
Fata'alallahu al-Malikul Haq.
Right. Fata'alallahu al-Malikul Al-Haq. طيب. What name is mentioned with Al-Malik here? Al-Haq. Nah, it's the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, exalted is Allah, the true King. Now, Fadl Sheikh.
Huwallahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-Malik al-Quddus.
Al-Malik al-Quddus. Al-Malik al-Quddus. Nah, Sheikh.
Is that being used as a name of Allah, or is that describing Al-Malik?
Yeah, it can be looked at both ways. It can. Let me look at both ways. Ta'ala Allahu Al-Maliku, yani the King, Al-Haq, the truth. Or it can be the true King. Alright, so Al-Malik, just like that, with Alif Walam, it's mentioned five times in the Quran. All right, we didn't mention just two here, but it's mentioned five times in the Quran. Oh, the second one is Hu Allahu Ladhi La Ilaha Illahu. He is Allah, the one who is the only true God, the only one worthy of worship. Al Maliku Al Quddus. Al Malik is the King. Al Quddus is the one who is holy and pure. One who is holy and pure. Nah.
Evidence. Al-Malik.
So first we're going to cover evidence, and then we'll get to the meanings, inshallah. There's no point in talking about the meanings if it's not actually a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to get through the evidence. Inna al-muttaqina fi jannatin wa nahar fi maq'adi sidqin 'inda malikin muqtadir. All right? So Al-Malik, the righteous will be amidst gardens and rivers, honored in the presence of an all-powerful sovereign. All right? And this Malik was only mentioned once in the Quran. It's only been mentioned once in the Quran. However, there's a dua in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as رَبَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَمَلِيكَهُ, the Lord of all things and their Malik. Yani their sovereign, their owner, their king. طيب. إخواني.
Oh Allah.
No, one second. إخوان. Abu Bakr رضي الله تعالى عنه went to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he told him to teach him a dua. that he could say in his salat. Does anybody know that dua? Anybody know that dua? إن اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. Oh Allah, I have wronged myself greatly, and there is none that forgives sins except for you. To the end of hadith. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him to teach him a dua that he could say in the morning and the evening. And that's this one. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added on to that and said, and say it before you go to bed as well. So this dua should be said three times in a day. In the morning, in the evening, and before going to bed. When is the morning, by the way? When is the morning in Islam? When we talk about adhkar as-sabah, the dua or the adhkar that you make in the morning, what is that referring to? After Fajr and before sunrise. And when we say the evening, what is it referring to? After Asr, but before Maghrib. After Asr, but before Maghrib. And what time is before you go to bed? La. It's whenever you get in the bed. No, really, it is. It's it's what you say when you go to sleep. It's not any time after Isha. La. When you go to sleep. Or when you actually get in the bed. Right? So this hadith is collected by Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and Bukhari and Adab al-Mufrad. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him to say this dua. Allahumma, not Allahumma, right? Huh? Okay. Allahumma fatir as-samawati wal-ard. Oh Allah, originator and creator of the heavens and the earth. Alim al-ghaybi wa-shahada. Alim al-ghaybi wa-shahada. Knower of the unseen and the seen. And the knower of all that exists, that which is unseen and that which is seen. رب كل شيء ومليكه. رب كل شيء ومليكه. You see it? Okay. So you are the Lord, you are the Rabb of everything, which means that what? You are the creator, you are a sustainer, it's cherisher, it's, and you are the Malik, that owner and the king of everything. You have authority over everything. أعوذ بك من شر نفسي ومن شر الشيطان وشركه أو شركه وأن أقترف على نفسي سوءا أو أجره إلى مسلم. I seek refuge in you from the evil of my soul and from the evil of Shaytan and his shirk, or that I should do some evil to myself or bring it upon a Muslim. Dua عظيم جدا. It's a great dua that should be memorized. All right, and subhanAllah, sometimes just the benefit of going over these names and realizing, subhanAllah, that these names are there. And this is, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدَعُوهُ بِهَا. And to Allah belongs the perfect name. So call upon Allah with those names. Here you see the Prophet ﷺ calling upon Allah with his names. Allahu A'lam. Ma adri. All right. الحمد لله طيب شيخ معك الكتاب
نعم
اقرأ علينا الكتاب 38 سألتني أي صفحة ايش أقول لك
من البداية
from beginning of 38 yeah
الملك yeah. the king الملك the master and owner الذي له الملك
right الذي له الملك is actually not supposed to be like it is here. It looks like it's also a name with Al-Malik and Al-Malik. But the author, As-Sa'di Rahimahullah, does not consider Al-Ladhi Lahul Mulk to be a name. Like you can't go around naming people Abdul Ladhi Lahul Mulk. Right? You can say Abdul Malik, Abdul Malik, but Abdul Ladhi Lahul Mulk doesn't work. Wallahu a'lam. Anyway, so he was explaining, the author was explaining that Al-Malik is the one that is the possessor of the kingdom and the dominion. Not that it's a separate name. But the translator seems, Allah yuwaffiqo, he seems to have gotten confused about that. Nah.
He is described with the attribute
of being the master and owner.
All right. So here we are. Listen to Juan. All of you have a book? If you don't, there's some in the back, right? These are the right in front of me. All right. These are the real ones this time. I mean, not missing 50 pages, huh? Last week they were missing 50 pages. You need some books, Sheikh? All right. Can somebody pass some of those back? All right. Turn to page 38 because I want you to be able to follow along.
Are there any more books?
I don't know.
Those are old ones.
I think there's some more upstairs, inshallah. Mafi, khalas. We're all out. Malish. Sorry about that. All right, Sheikh. Fadl, read that one sentence again. On page 38, in the middle of the page, he is described.
He is described with the attribute of being the master and owner.
Mm-hmm.
These are attributes describing his grandeur, glory, and majesty, omnipotence. Means nothing can stop him at all. And his governance and regulation of the affairs.
Right. Omnipotence means all powerful. Right? Nah.
He is the one who directs all of the affairs to do with creation, command, and recompense.
What's recompense, see?
Payback.
Mm-hmm. When does that happen?
Consequence.
When does that happen? In this life and the next. Nah.
To him belongs the whole of creation. All of it is subservient to him, owned by him, and in continuous need of him.
And that's the end of what As-Sa'di says. The rest of these ayat, as we remember, they were added by the translator. All right? So Sa'di says, to him belongs the whole of creation. All of it is subservient to him, owned by him, and in continuous need of him. So if you go back and we look at the general meaning of these three names, they can be summarized as follows. Okay, so look, Ikhwan. The three names all together carry the three meanings here. It's not that one name carries one meaning, one name carries the second meaning. No, the three names together, because they're all from the same root, and that root is the meme and the lamb and the calf. Right? So if you go back to your dictionary, for those of you who are studying Arabic, you'll find all three of these names, Malik and Malik and Al-Malik, you'll find them all under one entry. Okay? Because they go back to the same root and they all carry these meanings here. And we'll talk about some of the differences in just a bit, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So, Doc, can you read number one, please?
Allah has the attributes of the absolute king.
Right. So here, when we talk about an absolute king, what does a king do? I want you all to think with me now so we can get out of the realm of just taking. I want you to give back. What does a king do? Talk to me.
He
rules, he legislates, he makes decisions, huh? He provides, which is important. A king that doesn't provide for his people is not going to be a king too long. Oh, that's real. At least he's got to provide for his army. Or they'll do a coup. Yeah. Exactly. He does. He gives out punishments where necessary. And that's also important. Because if the king cannot punish, he also will not be king for too long. And he will not be able to establish rule. Will not be able to establish rule. He will not. And the reality is that people will do wrong. And it doesn't mean that he has to punish every wrong that's done. But there has to be enough of a deterrent for people to stay in line. Especially for those people who are not fearing Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they need to at least fear the Sultan. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the statement goes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep people in line with the Sultan if they don't stay in line with the Quran. Nah. So if the Quran does not keep them straight, then the Sultan will keep them straight. Bi-idhnillah. Alright? So these qualities that we talked about just now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has them in the most perfect form. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He rewards and he punishes. And his punishment is with justice. It's never, there's never any injustice with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And your Lord does not oppress anyone. All right? He is the absolute ruler. So when you look at other people who own things or who rule things, it's usually going to be limited. Well, it's always going to be limited, even if it's just limited by time, because none of them are going to live forever and they're not going to be able to rule forever. And then there's also geographical rules. So there are going to be boundaries. And after that, if that king oversteps the bound, he's going to be met by another king. Right? And so, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no, his mulk, his kingdom is boundless. There's nobody that's going to challenge him, right? So he has all of the attributes of a king. And we'll talk about this a little bit more as we go along, but I want you to understand those concepts there. So when we think about the king who legislates, who commands and prohibits, who gives out reward and who punishes, who provides for his subjects, then that is, when we think about the king, we should be thinking about those meanings. Now, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most perfect of those attributes. Naam, Sheikh.
The entire creation is subject to Allah.
Also, there was something that I did forget to mention there. With the king who is ruling a particular land, okay, you would also consider him to, like as you mentioned, he's the provider, okay, for that land. But again, even those provisions are limited. There's limited resources for any kingdom, except for the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's an amazing hadith that I'm sure all of you have heard before, because it's in 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi. But a lot of times, if we don't put it together, we don't recognize it, right? And so that hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadi inna awwalakum wa akhirakum wa insakum wa jinnakum law kanu ala atqa qalbi rajulin wahid minkum ma zada dhalika fi mulki shay'a. Now I want you to think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my slaves, if all of you, jinn and ins, had the heart of the most pious person, all of you. Now think about it. How many people on earth? 7 billion. How many jinn on earth? Allahu a'lam. I was hoping nobody was going to answer that. So, if all of jinn and all of mankind had the most pious heart of anybody, that would not increase Allah's dominion. It wouldn't mean anything in terms of Allah's mulk. And if they all had the most wicked heart, it wouldn't decrease from Allah's dominion at all. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after he says, fi mulki shay'a, and he uses that word mulk, his kingdom. Then he says, if all of you were together, awwalakum wa akhirakum, not just the 7 billion that are on earth right now, but all of the people, whoever were on earth, and all of the jinn that ever existed, were all to come together and ask Allah for whatever it is that they wanted. Ma naqasa dhalika mimma indi shay'a. It wouldn't diminish and decrease what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the least. He says, except like one of you takes a needle, he dips it in the ocean. He pulls it out. What has diminished from the ocean? Absolutely nothing. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mulk is vast. I mean, that's the point to understand here. So he has the attributes of the absolute king. Naam, Sheikh.
Allah does in his...
Number two.
Okay. The entire creation is subject to Allah.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king, and everything else and everyone else, every human being is a subject of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are all under His rule and His dominion. There's nothing that escapes that. And on top of that, everyone else is in need. See, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king, and everyone else is in need of Him. They are in need of Him for their very existence. They would not exist without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would not be able to continue to exist if it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So His kingdom, He is the king, He's the absolute king, and everything else is subject to Him. And that's kind of what was alluded to here on page 38, where He says at the end, to Him belongs the whole of creation. All of it is subservient to Him. All of it. The entire creation, the heavens and the earth. Owned by Him and in continuous need of Him. And that's what He's referring to there. Now, number three, Shaykh.
Allah does in His kingdom as He wills without interference.
Right. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does as He wills. He exercises His authority and His command as He wills. And there is absolutely nothing that can interfere in Him exacting His decree. Period. Nothing rivals Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no such thing as the forces of good and evil when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal is the force. He is Al-Malik, He is the king, He is the one that owns all of that, and there's nothing that can stop Him from doing whatever it is that He wants to do. And so you see the direct relationship between these names and Al-Qadr, His decree, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He does as He wills, لا معقب لحكمه, there is no appeal once He's made a judgment. There's no going back and finding a different attorney. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we look at, I just want you to understand, we'll get more meanings inshallah, and we'll go a little deeper, but I want you to understand that these three are basically all of the explanations that deal with Al-Malik and Al-Malik and Malik go back to one of these three. So the first deals with what? It deals with who Allah is, right? So a lot of the names, Ikhwan, we need to also pay attention to this as we go through the names. Some of them are going to answer the question, who is Allah? Some of them are going to answer the question, what does He do? All right? So if we look at these names, question number one is answering, who is Allah? Allah has these attributes as part of His essence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has these attributes of the king. The second one is also, in light of that, the entire creation being subject to Allah, it shows you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's majesty, and it shows you His status. The third one deals more with what Allah does. And Allah does in His kingdom as He wills. All right, we got that pretty much, inshallah. Tayyib Shaykh, you ready? Bismillah.
Differences between the names. As Shawkani mentioned that the scholars differed.
Shawkani was a Yemeni scholar, rahimahullah ta'ala, from 3 centuries ago, about. Nah.
Mentioned that the scholars differed regarding the two names Malik and Malik. Some of them said the name Malik.
Not Malik. This one is Malik. Right. I didn't deal with Malik, and I forgot. I'll deal with the name. But yeah, this is Malik.
Malik.
Most people spell it with an A, but it's going
to... Yeah, I messed up. And said the name Malik is more emphatic and comprehensive because every king can own something, but not every owner can be a king.
Okay, let's stop there. So... Malik, Al-Malik is what? Is the king. Whereas Al-Malik is the owner. So we have Al-Malik, the king, Al-Malik, the owner. So they, some of the scholars said that Malik is more emphatic and comprehensive. Why? Because every king can own something, but not every owner will be a king. All right? So they, yeah. So they say that that name is actually stronger, Al-Malik. But go ahead.
And because the command of the king is executed upon the owner.
Okay, so what does that mean? The command of the king is executed upon the owner. What's that mean? See, most of you never lived in a kingdom before, so you don't understand what that. But even without living in a kingdom, yes, go ahead.
That someone can have ownership of some like property,
right?
But he still falls up under.
Right. So someone can own property, but they're still under the authority and the command of the king. Any of you own property here? May Allah bless you all. You're all paying property taxes, aren't you? Because even though you own it, you are still subject to the rules. You're still subject to someone else. Even though you own that, you are still subject. Nah. Fadal Sheikh. And if you don't pay those taxes, it will be taken back from you. Nah. Yes.
In the context of this, when he's saying every king
can be an owner.
Can be an owner.
Right.
How does that relate back to with the previous slide where it said some of the worst words you could utter?
Malikul Amlak. La Malika illallah. Tayyib. Like I said, there's some overlap. And we'll talk about it in a second. Just, yeah. Keep going, Shaykh.
Others said Malik is more emphatic and comprehensive than Malik.
Right.
When praising Allah, because he is the owner of mankind and the whole dominion.
So he's the owner of mankind. He's the owner of all of the kings. And he's the owner of all of what they own and what they are the kingdom of. So he, in fact, is, in that sense, it's more emphatic and comprehensive, right? Go ahead.
The truth is that every attribute has a specific meaning that is not found in the other one.
All right, so, and Fath al-Qadir. So I only wanted to bring this here so that we can understand something. It's not to say that either anything that he said is absolute. Here's the deal. Both Al-Malik and Al-Malik are talking about authority. All right? But we're talking about two different types of authority. So, if you live in a kingdom and there's a king, but you own your house, can the king come tell you you have to paint your walls white? No. No, he doesn't have the right to do that. He does not have the right to do that. He can, and he has an army that might make you do that, but that would be unjust. And so because you are the owner of certain things, right, you actually have an authority over those things that you own that goes beyond the authority of the king as it relates to your personal property. All right? And so that's a type of authority. But the king has another type of authority. So you have the authority to do as you will with your property. Correct? Y'all with me?
Yeah.
All right. The king has a different type of authority because he can command and prohibit it, and prohibit even without being the owner of that thing. So he can command that there be a tax levied on that property. And as long as that is going to a just cause, whether it's establishing a fire department, a police department, and other things like that, nobody's going to accuse him of being unjust, and he has an authority. He has the authority by way of his what? Huh? By his rule, exactly. So he establishes rules. And so this is why Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, says that the difference between Al-Malik and Al-Malik, it's not that one is better than the other or more comprehensive or no, but that the difference is that the Malik is the one who rules by action, and the Malik is the one who rules by statement. So when you have authority over something, you are the owner of that thing, then you rule over that thing through your actions. Whereas the king rules through commands and prohibitions and establishing the rules. All right? Al-Malik combines between the two. Al-Malik combines between the two. And in Arabic, it's on the scale fa'il, which is known as a siyagh, min as-siyagh al-mubalagha, which means it's an exaggerated form. So it carries a stronger meaning, Malik. So it is a combination of both al-Malik and al-Malik. All right? Let's keep moving. I'm really sorry, but we only have 12 minutes, and I really want to get through this.
Benefits. Ask Allah, because it belongs to Him.
Number one, Ikhwan, to walk away with today. Ask Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever it is that you want, whatever it is that you desire, from the things that you need in this life, or for what you are expecting and hoping for in the hereafter, ask Allah, because it belongs to Him. Nah.
Allah descends every night to the lowest heaven and says, I am the king. I am the king. Malik. Who is
yes, the look at that. Look at that. When at the Prophet ﷺ, in this hadith, Sahih Muslim, what does Allah say when He descends to the lowest heaven? He says, Ana al-Maliku, Ana al-Malik. I am the king. I am the king. Man yad'uni fa astajib lahu. Who is it that's asking me, making dua to me, invoking me? Who is that? So that I can answer him. I am the king. I am the king. Now, keep going, Sheikh. Who is?
Who is seeking my forgiveness from me so that I forgive him? He continues like this until the day breaks.
Yani, until Fajr. Now, it's collected by Muslims. So I want you to internalize that. Think about that. That last third of the night when Allah Azza wa Jal descends in a way that we don't know how it works. And that's not for us to know. And our minds cannot comprehend that. But we do understand Allah Azza wa Jal drawing closer to us, telling us to call on Him. Telling us that He is the King. Who else are you asking for? You go out throughout the day and we ask this person for this and this person for that. But are we taking advantage of that opportunity to ask the King? Everything that you want belongs to Him. We already talked about, when we go back and we look at what is it? The entire creation is subject to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has those attributes of the absolute king. He owns it all. And so if we want it, we should ask the king. Salim ibn Abdullah was the son of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu ta'ala. We all know Abdullah ibn Umar, the great companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He had a son named Salim. And he was in Mecca inside of Al-Masjid Al-Haram. The Khalifa at that time, who was the 10th Khalifa of the Umayyads, his name was Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik. And he went into the Kaaba to make tawaf, and he saw Salim ibn Abdullah ibn Umar. Now mind you, Salim was one of the greatest of the Tabi'een, one of the greatest of the scholars. And so Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik went to him and he said, Salni ma shit. Ask me for anything you want. He's the Khalifa. He's the king. He's beyond the king. He's the Khalifa. And he goes to Salim and he says, mind you, his name is Hisham ibn what? Abdul Malik. Abdul Malik. And he's telling Salim, ask me for whatever you want. And Salim said, I'm shy to ask from other than Allah in His house. I'm shy to ask from other than Allah in His house. And so he left them alone. When they left the Kaaba, Hisham went back to him. And he said, Salim, ask me anything you want. He said, from the things of this life or from the things of the hereafter? Right? So what was Hisham's answer? Obviously, from the things of this life. He said, Wallahi, I didn't ask the owner of this life for anything from this life. So I'm not going to ask someone who doesn't own it. I didn't ask the dunya from the person who owns the dunya. He doesn't want anything from the dunya. He only wants the hereafter. And so the point is, ask Allah. Ask Allah for what it is that you want. Now, Father Sheikh.
Allah is the only absolute owner, man. You are not.
Allah is the absolute owner. Everything that you have belongs to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are not the absolute owner of it. And that's why you're going to be asked about it. Now,
the feet of the slave of Allah will not...
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said.
No. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said, the feet of the slave of Allah will not move on the day of judgment until he is asked about...
Number one.
How he spent his life.
Number two.
What he did with his knowledge.
Number three.
How he acquired his wealth.
Number four.
How he spent it.
How he acquired his wealth and how he spent it. Now, if you're the absolute owner, nobody can ask you how you spent. You know, it's like your child coming to you say, what would you do with your paycheck? This is mine. Why didn't you buy me that new bike? Why didn't you buy me that new bike? It's like, no, you don't have a right to ask because that's not yours. And here's the thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask you because he gave it to you and it's his. Right? How you acquired your wealth and how you spent it. And lastly,
and how he used his body.
And so when you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of all things, it has to humble you because you recognize that what you have is temporary and they're temporary possessions, and you have to be careful about how you use them because you really don't have the right to dispose of it how you will. It's not yours. It's haram to burn money. Do you know that? You can't just say, oh no, it's mine. You know, I'm going to burn it. No. La ilaha illallah. Naam, Shaykh. Fadal.
If you want to disobey Allah.
Naam. So, a young man came to one of the early scholars, Ibrahim ibn Adham, and he mentioned to him that he had a problem sinning. And so, from the things that Ibrahim ibn Adham said to him was, if you want to disobey Allah, then go to a land that Allah does not own and disobey him as you please. He said, well, where would that be? Because Allah owns everything. He says, aren't you not shy to disobey Allah on his own land? You disobey the king in his own land. And so these are things that you should be thinking about, and these are things that should keep us from being disobedient to the real king, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nah.
The owner and king of all is the only true God.
In other words, the true God is the one deserving of worship. And so the only one that deserves your worship is the owner and the king. And sometimes we find ourselves, you know, with our hearts being attached to other owners, to other kings, because we want something that they have. And so the heart becomes attached to them. And we may disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please them. And this is something that you have to get out your heart and recognize that Allah is the king. He is the owner. I mean, just think about it. We're not talking. You don't have to go that far. You can probably think of something that you did recently where somebody had something that you wanted and you behaved a certain kind of way to get that thing from them. But Allah is the Malik, and he is the Malik and the Malik. Naam, Shaykh.
He is Allah.
This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying this. He is Allah. Naam.
Besides whom none has the right to be worshipped but he, the king.
Hu Allahu ladhi la ilaha illa hu what? Al-Malik. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first name that he mentions there is Al-Malik. He is the one that has the right to be worshipped alone because he is Al-Malik. Nah.
Such is Allah, your Lord.
Dharikum Allahu Rabbukum.
His is the kingdom.
Lahul Mulk. Lahu Al-Mulk. Meem, Lam, Kaf. Right.
There is no God, there is no deity, there is no one to be worshipped but he.
Right. So notice, because he has the Mulk, no one has the right to be. He is the only one that has the right to be worshipped.
So what causes you to turn away, deviate?
Right. Okay. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَا وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَا يَمْلِكُونَ astaghfirullah, نسيت الآية. And Surah Al-Furqan. Anybody remember the beginning? All right, read it in English, Sheikh.
And yet,
لا يخلقون شيئا وهم يخلقون. نعم. And yet instead of him.
And yet instead of him, they produce for themselves deities, gods that create nothing but are themselves created. that have no power.
لا يملكون لأنفسهم ضرا. لا يملكون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they don't own, they don't have the power to harm or even benefit themselves. So why would somebody worship them? Nah. And no power?
They have no power to harm or benefit themselves and no power over life, death, or resurrection.
All right. Ikhwan, work with your partner. Work with your partner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you ready? This is one of the surahs that inshallah everybody in the masjid has memorized. قُلْ أَعُوذُ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. All right, what I want you to do, you're going to work with your partner. You're going to extract the names and or attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned of himself, his divine names and attributes that he has mentioned in this surah. And then you are going to mention the significance, yani, in other words, why these three names? What is the significance? Oh, I just mentioned three. You got it. All right, all right. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention these names? What can you bring out of that? What's the significance of these names in this particular surah? You do have 2 minutes, sir. You have 2 minutes, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, and then we'll reconvene, inshallah. Are you? Yalla, 2 minutes. You need a partner. No, because I'm going to give you all the answers.
Prophet, do any of the prophets know all the 99
names? Oh, yeah. Huh? Yes. The second part is, what's the significance of those three names? To why are those three names mentioned together? What does that have to do with what comes after it? Okay, time is up. Sheikh Hanif. Okay, anybody want to volunteer? What are the three names? I didn't tell you. I told you it was three names. I didn't tell you what they were. You want to go over there with the Dr. Mokhtar al-Smith. So okay. Al-Rab and Al-Malik and Al-Ilah, Allah. Notice that those are the three names we started with.
Right?
First week we took Rab, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now we're on Malik. Okay. So these are the three names, and now that you have a pretty decent understanding of those names, inshallah, what does that have to do with the rest of the surah? Yes. Take a stab at it.
Because if you understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supports and takes care of mankind.
Give him the mic. Give him the mic, please. This is. Okay, it's coming. It's coming. There you go.
If one understands that Allah supports and takes care of mankind, He is the ruler of mankind, and He is the one to whom all mankind should worship, then that is the only one that anyone should be seeking refuge from.
Right.
From the evil and whispering of men and jinn.
Okay. All right. Nah. Go ahead, Nah.
Isn't this what Ibn Taymiyyah said? Because in order to protect mankind from all ways, then this is more comprehensive than Surah Al-Falaq. All these ways must be protected from the evil of Iblis and Shaitan and his LBM.
Nah. We're gonna read very quickly Oh, no, no, no. No, we're going to read very quickly what As-Sa'di himself said about this particular, about these three names, inshallah. Fadhil Sheikh.
This surah, it contains or it includes the seeking refuge of the Lord of mankind, the owner of mankind, the deity of mankind from Shaitan, who is the source of all evil. And he is his origin, he himself is evil. And from his tribulation for mankind is that he whispers to their hearts. And so he makes things that are evil seem good to them.
And pay attention here. Pay attention here. What is he doing? Does he own your heart?
No.
What does he do? He whispers. So you want to seek refuge from the owner of your heart, from the one who's trying to penetrate that heart. Right? Go ahead.
He shows them evil in a way that makes it look nice or look appealing. And he encourages them to partake in evil.
And what is the most evil thing?
Shirk.
And so you seeking refuge in the ilahinness, huh, from what the shaitan is trying to do to get you to worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're recognizing that rububiyyah, you're recognizing the mulk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're recognizing his uluhiyyah. Naam Shaykh.
He makes good seem evil to them, or he makes it unappealing to them, and he makes them lazy in terms of trying to do it. And so he shows it to them in a way that is not how it actually is. And this is all the time that he's busy doing
this. So this is what Shaitan does. But he doesn't own you. Right? And again, we shouldn't look at the forces of good and evil and these type of things. La. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that owns. And Shaitan is just whispering. Naam, Shaykh.
And so he's called Al-Khannas because he goes away each time the slave remembers Allah and seeks refuge with him. And so it's important for an individual to seek help with and seek refuge in and seek protection with the providence or lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over all of mankind. That all of creation fall under his caretaking and under his dominion and sovereignty. Every creature that walks upon the earth or in the earth, he is in control of it. And also seeking refuge with his uluhiyah, with his right to be worshipped. Because this is the reason for which he created them. And so they're not going to be able to fulfill the purpose of their creation except by removing this evil enemy from their path.
Right. And so there's an enemy in that path of you doing your ibadah, which is ilahness. But that enemy is also owned by Allah. And so you seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Malik, to remove that hindrance from your path because he also owns him. And we'll stop there as it relates to that. 1 second, inshallah. I'm just going to finish this part. We're done. This is the last slide right here. But I want to cover it because I think it's very important. The title here is Subtleties. And you remember under subtleties, we said we're going to talk about why are different names come in conjunction with one another in the Quran, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls himself, or he says, Al-Malikul Quddus, right? In two places in the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the beginning of Surah Al-Jumu'ah, Yusabbihu lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard, Al-Malikul Quddus, Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. All that is in the heavens and the earth declares the glory of Allah, the King, the Holy. The King, the Holy, the Mighty, the Wise. And that also comes in Surah Al-Hashr. Allah, and then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he would finish praying witr, it is not narrated that he would say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. La. He would say, Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus. Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus. All right? Subhana. Al-Malik al-Quddus. So this is what you should say three times. The Prophet ﷺ used to say that after Salat al-Witr. Rabb al-Malaikati wa al-Ruh, he would say on the third time. Tayyib. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to himself as the King and the Holy. And that's because, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that is because many of the kings of this life do things that are unjust. They overstep their bounds. They misuse their power. Right? But Allah Azza wa Jal is Quddus. Quddus means that he is, we translate it as holy, but it means he's above any negative quality. And most kings use their power for what? For their personal gratification. Right? And so they use it to fulfill their lusts and lowly desires that they may have. But this is not the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is not just any malik. He is al-malik al-Quddus. He is the one who is above misusing his power. On top of that, and this is the last thing that we'll cover, huwa fata'ala Allahu al-malik al-haq. Exalted is Allah, the King, the truth, or the true King. And we talked about this earlier, meaning that his power is absolute. It has no geographical limits. It has no time limits. It doesn't have any limits that the other kingdoms have. So every other kingdom is relative. Every other kingdom is relative. And therefore, it is a false kingdom in a sense. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kingdom is absolute, and therefore it is the true kingdom. Now, what I want us to understand from this, inshallah, and for us, besides the fact that this should make us grow in our reverence for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our calling upon him, I want us to notice something here. And that is that Allah Azza wa Jal is al-Malik. He is the King and he is the owner at the same time. And therefore, he has absolute authority over his creation. Meaning that anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does to you, then what? Then it's just. He has the right to do it. And so we should never question what happens to us or look at it as that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done us some injustice. Even if we go through difficult times and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us happy in this life and the next, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us salvation. Even if a person goes through some difficult times, it's just. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's Allah's right to do what he wants with his creation. But on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us hope in our hearts. And he lets us know that not only is he al-malik and he's the malik, but he's also al-adl. He's also just. He is also ar-Rahman. He is also the most merciful. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, al-mulku yawma idhin al-haqqu lir-Rahman. He says that the mulk on that day, the kingdom and everything that is in existence, in truth, is for who? Ar-Rahman. So he lets you know that even though he's the king, and even though he's the owner, and he can do whatever he wants to do, what he does do is with mercy. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what we can take away from that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us authority over something. Every single one of us has authority over something. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that authority and entrusted us with that authority. We also need to try to take those qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating to us and be merciful with those who are under our authority. And not be so hard. Even, and probably most of the time, when we do things that are outside of that mercy, we're probably being unjust. Many times we're being unjust. But even if you did have the right to punish, being merciful is the quality of al-Malik and al-Malik. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us with what he has taught us today. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.